Perfect.
I'd like to get the musicians that I'm interviewing to pitch their music in like three words or a short sentence. So how would you describe your music?
I would describe my music as vulnerable, quirky pop.
Okay, interesting. What musicians did you listen to growing up, and how have they influenced your music now?
So my parents had loads, had like a wall of CDs in my house growing up. And I remember like my mum was really into Blondie, so I loved Debbie Harry and Blondie, and Blondie was actually kind of an inspiration for my name as well. And then my dad loved David Bowie, and actually my dad was probably the biggest influence on me musically because he was into a lot of music that was current at the time. So this was like 2007 slash, 2010s, I guess. And he was really into like Amy Winehouse, Scissor Sisters, Lily Allen, Arctic Monkeys. Like he had a really current modern music taste for like, a dad at that time. And so yeah, I grew up listening to a lot of artists who were very opinionated and honest in their lyrics, and who were, I guess, whose identity was about authenticity. And like Amy Winehouse, Lily Allen, like they weren't afraid to talk about real, I guess, sometimes really heavy stuff like mental health, and they weren't afraid to be bold, which I think a lot of, was kind of rare for female artists, especially at the time, who were sort of meant to be a little bit more reserved and palatable, and I was really inspired by their strength.
A lot of those artists you've mentioned there are sort of real products of their place. And I saw that on your YouTube, you've got this series called I'm Obsessed With, where you talk to people about the cities that they live. Is you're from London, North London. Is that something that's influenced your music? Is London as a place somewhere that is influential? Is it the people? Is it the sort of multiculturalism of London? What talk on that.
Yeah, I mean, London has massively inspired me and influenced my music. I think growing up somewhere that has such a rich musical history, I feel so lucky to, I was born in Camden, and that is such a famous, music area. And so many bands, including Amy Winehouse, who I mentioned before, Camden was their like stomping ground. And I think because of that, sorry, I'll say that again. Yeah, Camden was their stomping ground, and I think because of that, I was lucky enough to have a lot of access to amazing like music facilities, and there were a lot of like programs that were run for young people to have access to like music studios and rehearsal studios. So when I was a teenager, the Roundhouse in Camden, which is a really famous venue, they were running, and I think they still do run this like 16 to 25s basically free recording studio and rehearsal studios. So, when I started being in bands and stuff as a teenager, like there was a space where we could rehearse. And, I think, especially, I think now it's definitely easier for anyone to get into music because of like TikTok and social media, and you can promote yourself, you can produce, you can make a whole album from your bedroom. But even so, you still need to have a laptop, and you still need a microphone and musical equipment and gear, and that costs money. And I feel like, dependent on where you grow up, there will be more resources, or less, and so I feel very lucky that I grew up in an area where it was like London, there's so m many resources, and you can every night there's a different gig happening. So I definitely don't take that for granted. But also just lyrically, like London has inspired me so much because there's so much life, there's so much happening. And that because there are so many people that you can really find your community. And especially for me, in terms of like the queer community there's so many cool venues and things happening there. So It's a great city.
I feel like currently in pop music, there's sort of a trend of, I don't want to say a trend, but there's sort of a branch of sort of hyper feminine queer pop. How does it feel to be a part of that, and what's inspiring you in that space?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's amazing. I mean, I think I've been releasing music for quite a few years now, and compared to when I first, put out my first ever song to now, like there's just been this huge growth in women, queer women in pop. And I think it's amazing, and I feel like it's really cool to be a part of because it feels like a lot less isolating than it used to feel, especially when I released my like first song about being queer, which was called Girl I Met on the Internet. And I think I released that in like 2016 or 2017. Like I remember, like I didn't feel like there were many other queer female artists who I could reach out to or hang out with, or that there were like that many events, or not that I was aware of, or that I could play and be amongst people I really related to. It was very, it was mostly just boys everywhere. And I think it's really amazing that there's so much more space for that and a lot more of a community, and also just for young people listening to music and having that representation is so cool. And I wish I'd had that when I was, like coming to terms with my sexuality. I wish I'd had more people in music that I could look up to.
Your second album, Matriarchy, is coming out in May. What was the process of working on a sophomore album? Was your approach to it different than your first album? Was the sound that you're going for more of a growth, or did you want to go for something completely different?
Yeah, it was really different. I think the first album that I released was in 2019. It was called Odd One Out, and I was signed to a major label, which after that album came out, I actually got dropped from that label, which ended up being a really great thing to happen to my career, really, because then I went independent and I was able to have a lot, take the reins back in terms of creative control. And I think that first album, it definitely felt, I'm really proud of those songs and they definitely came from a very real place. But I also felt like a lot of the lyrics and the production and the artwork and the videos for the album were definitely tweaked and kind of shoehorned into being a bit more of a sort of polished pop product, radio friendly kind of thing, by my label at the time. And I definitely feel like this album is completely me. I've had so many amazing people I've collaborated with and worked on it, but I haven't had anyone say to me, "Don't do that," or "You shouldn't do that," or "Change that," and this album sort of came together. I didn't realize I was making an album, really. I spent the last few years, I guess, since my last record, just putting out loads of small projects, EPs and singles, and kind of just navigating, figuring out what my sound is and who, what do I want to say? I had a bit of like an identity crisis, probably like post-COVID, as everyone did. And I was like, who am I? What am I trying to say? Who is Girly? And I kind of felt like I was going into the studio and feeling like, oh, I need to write a pop hit. I need to, be number one. I need to be trending on TikTok. I had all this pressure and I wasn't really making good music because of that. And then when I released that pressure and I was like, I was going through something really difficult in my personal life, and I was like, I just need to write about this. Like, I just need to write songs just to cope with this. It's like my journal entry, and then this album kind of came about. And then turning that into the concept of like matriarchy and all the visuals and, the videos and the artworks and the campaign around it has been so fun and so freeing, I guess.
Were you listening to or consuming any music or even like film or TV while you were writing and making the album, and how did that influence the process of that?
Yeah, I mean, I was listening to so many different artists. I think, at the time I was listening to a lot of Muna and Troye Sivan, Kacey Musgraves,
Mm.
070 Shake, like actually a lot of women and queer artists. And I think also I was, I do this series on TikTok, which is called Herstory, which is all about like women's history, and it's called Herstory Lesson. And I'll basically like say, oh, these are some really cool women from history that, we weren't told about in history class. And it was kind of about, or it is kind of about revealing and, giving a platform to forgotten stories from history. And then I did one called Queerstory Lesson, which was all about, LGBTQ plus people from history whose stories have been erased. And I was inspired by this idea of like, oh, all of the incredible stories that we haven't heard from history. And then the sort of matriarchy idea of like this sort of, the music video from my song Matriarchy, which is the title track of the album, is about this sort of imagined time in history, which could also be in the future. We're not sure when it is. And it's this like mansion or que castle, sorry, of all of these like queer women, and they're living their best life, and they're like, queens of their own queendom. And it's actually not really a fantastical idea, because that has existed in history. There have been so many queer queens and royalty, over the years, but their stories have just been erased, really. So that was very, inspiring. But I was also going to a lot of art galleries, and I was thinking, there's not much art of people who like are diverse, or people who like me and my friends can relate to. There's a lot of like white cis straight people in these paintings, and I was like, ha, that I bet there's so many amazing paintings and stories that have been burned, or they're in some basement somewhere, they're not in the galleries. So this album was basically about writing my own story and doing it for people whose stories have been erased.
Yeah, cool. You're currently on tour here in Australia. Have you toured here before?
No, I've never toured here before.
Oh, exciting. What kind of vibe do you like to set for your gigs, and what do you want people to bring out, come out with from your gigs? Like, what's the feeling, what's the emotions that you want people to have once they leave and take with them?
I want my shows to feel like a safe space where people can just come and, be whoever they want to be and not fear discrimination or judgment. And, a lot of people who come to my shows, maybe their home life is difficult, or maybe, out in the world, they don't feel like they can really be themselves. And I just want my shows to bring people joy and acceptance. And I hope that people will come away feeling like, wow, I really felt like a sense of community in that room.
And we like to end by getting the interviewee to recommend a piece of music or an album or just a musician in general that people should be checking out.
Oh, amazing. Who is really good who I've been getting into recently? I mean, there's a great artist called Empress Of,
Okay,
who
cool.
just released an album called For Your Consideration. I've been listening to her music for so long. She's really cool. She's like an American Hispanic artist, and yeah, she has loads of cool stuff. So
Great. Yeah, thank you so much for chatting to us here on Sin. I'm going to your
thank
gig here in Melbourne on Friday and I'm very excited. So,
Oh my
yeah,
God, so
thank you so
stoked.
much.
So excited.